Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Living Hope. It's good to be back with you after a little time away last weekend. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using pretty much forever. The Lord be with you. Thank you. I am so glad that that's true. I'm so glad that the Lord is with us, that when we gather together to worship Him, and even when we just kind of check in online, when we focus our heart and our attention on Him, He meets us right where we live. Meets us right here in the midst of all the stuff we've got going on. So let's bow our heads and pray to Him as we begin. God, we are grateful for Your presence with us, grateful for the invitation to this time where we get to gather and worship You. We get to center our hearts and our thoughts on You and bring to You all the stuff that we've been carrying with us through life. Some of us are walking in with all kind of joy and just celebration. We're just giving You thanks, God, for the good things that have been happening in our lives this past week. Others of us, God, You know, we walk in with hurts, with needs, with fear and anxiety, with all kinds of stuff. And God, we need You to be gracious. We need You to be good. We need to be able to lift these needs up to You and trust that there's a God who cares about us. And God, we believe that You do. You've shown us this love, this care, this willingness to enter into the mess of our lives. You've shown us this in Your Son, Jesus Christ. He's the reason that we're here, and He's the reason that we have hope in You. Because in Jesus, You showed that Your love is stronger than anything we might face. So thank You, God. Please use everything we do in this hour. Use the songs and the prayers and the scriptures and the table. Use all of it to connect us with You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing.
I try with all my might, but I just can't win. I feel, I don't know if anybody else feels like this, but I feel so weird when I forget to put my watch on in the morning, and then I have to look at an actual clock. But thankfully, God is outside of time, and we could not even imagine the days and the hours to him. And I say that because some of you either saw it on Facebook or on Facebook, you said, who is this Missy Keen? How did I become friends with her? I got married on Friday. Legally, yeah. So my name is Missy Keen now. So it's shorter. That's good. But also, like in terms of time, we've been together for 13 and a half years. Four kids, multiple houses, multiple apartments, a bunch of dogs, a bunch of cats. But not really following God's design in the beginning like he wanted it, and that caused a lot of problems. So even though we've been together a long time, I would say the last 5 years have really been the living for God portion of it. And even in that, I was still like pushing for time, like, when are we getting married? When are we getting married? When are we getting married? When you like open your hands and say, God, take over, he takes over really fast, because that was about a month ago. And then he was like, oh, yeah, let's do, you know, okay. Whatever you want. So, yes, I'm Missy Keen. And we'll have a ceremony with everybody to celebrate, probably in the summer. We got a lot going on here in the next couple months. So. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
Black skies and my red eyes, I
just for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression.
Amen. Amen. I invite you to pray with me if you would. Father, we are so thankful that we have a name that we can speak into any situation that we're facing. A name of power and healing, and that is the name of Jesus. Lord, where would we be were it not for your precious holy name that we could call upon no matter what it is we're facing? That we can call upon it in the good times and give you honor and praise and glory. Lord, we can call upon your name in the hard times and the bad times. Lord, in those times when we just cannot see a way out, your name is powerful. Your name brings healing. Your name gives life. Lord, we are so very thankful for the name of Jesus this morning. I thank you, Father, for each person that's gathered here, that's come this morning to meet with you. Thank you for welcoming us into your presence this morning, for inviting each of us here with all of the joys that we bring with us, with all of the burdens that we carry. Lord, you have brought us here to meet with you and to be with you and to fellowship with you and with each other. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each family, each individual, each home, each workplace, each spot in the community, Lord, that every person represents this morning. I thank you for the fragrance of you that comes off of each and every one of us in those places that we go and the people that we meet. That, Lord, when they come into contact with us, Lord, our prayer is that they also come into contact with you in some way, shape, or form. I thank you, Lord, for a new season, for a new beginning. In a sense, Lord, in that we are starting to walk into a time when we are reflecting on your coming. It's not quite Advent yet, Lord, but on this Sunday morning, we're starting to turn our attention toward and our minds toward preparing our hearts and preparing our minds, Lord, for your coming, for what the Advent season will mean for us. Prepare us, Father, as we begin to step into that and anticipate, Lord, what you have in store for us in the coming weeks. Be with us this morning. Be with Pastor Rich as he brings us your word. I know that you have spoken to him, and I know that he has listened. And so, Father, we trust that the word that you've given him is a word for us today. Open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, Lord, regardless of what it is you have to say to us. And we give you all the thanks and the praise and the glory and the honor as we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
While folks in the room are finishing their conversations, I want to say another hello to all of you joining us online. Hi, we're glad you're with us today. My name's Rich. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're glad to have you join us. Since you weren't able to just shake hands and say hi, drop us a note in the comments wherever you're watching this and let us know you're with us. And if there's something you want to express privately, and this goes for all of us too, you can go to livinghope.info/connect and do that, or all of us in the room can just grab a green card back there and jot a note on it and drop it in the offering box, and that way we can follow up with you, pray for you, answer your questions, whatever it might be. Just a couple of announcements on the back of your handout. If you didn't get one of these, there's some back by the door. But just a little reminder that Wednesday nights there's the Bible discussion group at 6, and the youth group. Is that still at 6:30, or is that moving? Is it still at 6:30 right now?
Yeah, we're with you.
Okay, 6:30. Okay, a youth group that meets at 6:30, and then there's a mention there of Habitat. We're not making a huge deal out of this year. The house is already halfway built, but if you'd like to build it, it's in Portage. And you can go to PorterCountyHabitat.org and find out more about volunteering, about donating. If you want to help build that house, every year we've been helping build a house with Habitat of Porter County. You can do that two ways. You can either just go right to their website and hit the donate button and donate there. Or if you're donating through the church, you know, you can write Habitat on the outside of the envelope to a check made out to us, or cash or whatever. Or if you're giving online, you can just hit the drop down and give to the Habitat Fund, and we'll pass that on along to them. Or you skip the middleman and just go right to them and donate to them. Different ways that you can help build that house, either with your own sweat and tears or with some financial resources. And I think that's the only things I needed to update you on, other than apparently somebody wanted to interrupt the service and say something. So is that you, Courtney? Are you the one I'm supposed to hand this microphone to? Okay.
Good morning. So we all know that it was Pastor Appreciation last month, but unfortunately it's November, so we're going to do it today. We would like to take this time to acknowledge our pastors and thank them for the ministry here at Living Hope. We absolutely love you guys. So if we can have Pastor Rich, Pastor Judy, Romeo, Lucas, and Missy come on up here. We would like to show them our appreciation for the wonderful ministry they give us and their time that they show us. They are such a blessing to us, this community, and everything they do for us. And we would like to hand them these here. So this is for you.
Thank you.
We thank you guys so very much. So if all of you can give them our thanks. Thank you.
Well, thanks, guys. Didn't know that was coming. So is that your way of surprising us? Just like, yeah, we'll just wait till October's over. That's fine. It's no big deal. Just so you know, I'm in conversation with other pastors and stuff, and there was one, it was on Facebook, some Facebook group, and they were asking, like, do you guys remind your churches that it's, Pastor Appreciation Month or whatever? And I was like, I never remind them. If they do something great, if they don't, that's fine. I feel appreciated anyway, and I appreciate being your pastor, and I always feel appreciated by you, but, these cards don't hurt. So thank you for expressing that appreciation for all of us who are serving you. Before we dive into this morning's message, I would love it if we could just pause for a second for another brief word of prayer. God, we are thankful for the ways that you're at work in our lives and in our world. We are thankful for the opportunities to do these things together. Remind us today, God, that we are not alone, that you are with us, and that you've surrounded us with people who care. As we look at your word today, God, would you help us to hear your spirit speaking to us? Maybe something that I say about it, or maybe just something that you say about it that has nothing to do with what I say. But God, I pray that for each and every one of us today, that we would have a moment where we have a sense that the God of the universe is speaking to us. Thank you, God, for loving us and being with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. we decided that for the month of November, we are going to look at a topic that touches every single one of our lives in some way or other. I was yesterday at a meeting down in Indianapolis. There was a grant that the church applied for. Some of you were here a Sunday. I mentioned it. If you missed it, I'll mention it again real quick. We applied for this grant from a group called Congregations with Community. It's for congregations working with community organizations to bless their communities, to bless their neighborhoods. And since we already have so many different partnerships with other community agencies, we found one that we thought would fit the grant. We went through a whole long process, and us and Sam Burgett's nonprofit, the Community Change Center that runs the Fresh Starts food truck, we applied for this grant and were awarded it. The total of the grant's $100,000, and 30 of that's coming back to us to renovate kitchen and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's exciting. 70,000 of it's going to be for programming, helping Community Change Center help folks that are coming out of incarceration, coming out of either jail or prison. And so they work with folks that are still in prison as they come out. The food truck helps employ them, and they're going to be doing all kinds of employment readiness things and some things for us to help us understand our neighbors who are struggling with what it's like to come out of incarceration and try to re-engage with society. Anyway, I was at this meeting, and they were just trying to help us get to know each other. There were a whole bunch of us in this room. And they were having us either stand or sit if you'd gone through different things. You know, everybody, if you've done this, stand up. If not, sit down, you know, and a bunch of people stand. They did ask some people some questions. And near the end, they were asking, like, how many of you know someone or you yourself who'd dealt with mental illness, mental health issues? And almost the entire room was standing. And I jokingly said to the person next to me, like, anybody not standing must just have bad knees. You know, they just can't stand up. Because all of us, either we ourselves have dealt with some mental health struggles over time, or we've got people close to us who have. And this is something that touches all of us. And there's been so much stigma over time about mental health. For some reason, there's not as much stigma. You know, like if you break your leg, like Zach did, I told him my story was going to be that he was going into a convenience store and there were some bad guys robbing the place, and he karate kicked him right in the face, knocked him out cold till the police got there, but he broke his leg in the process. So, you know, you break your leg or something, and there's no stigma around that, right? It's like, oh, dang, broke your leg. Sorry to hear it. How long are you going to be in that? Oh, okay. You know, we understand kind of physical stuff, you know. You find out you've got diabetes or something, you're going to have to take insulin. It's like, oh, man, that stinks, but how's it going and how your blood sugar? And, you know, you have a conversation about it, and it's like, that's just part of what happens, right? And, oh, you're going to be taking insulin for the rest of your life. Okay, you know, unless you have a transplant or unless they come up with something. But we understand that. And for some reason, mental health struggles, we get all queasy about for some reason. And if someone has to take medication to correct an imbalance in your brain chemistry or something like that, or to help your moods be more easily regulated, all of a sudden, we get all, like, weirded out. Or sometimes, sadly, pastors have stood up front in churches or well-meaning Christians have said to friends, like, oh, well, you just need to pray more. Or if you really had faith, then you wouldn't deal with this. Or come on, don't be so down. You know, today's the day the Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. Let's be glad and rejoice in it. Come on, get out from under that dark cloud, you know, and just kind of like, as if we can just kind of will ourselves out of depression. And, yeah, I think maybe because we don't understand it very well, or maybe because we just have some goofy ideas about it, or maybe we just, I don't know, we're afraid to even consider that we might be, that what we're dealing with might be a mental health struggle that we might need help with. And so we thought, we'll give a few Sundays just to surfacing these issues and looking at Scripture about it. And I know as the folks who were standing up in front just a moment ago, as we've been talking leading up to today and leading up to this month, every single one of us have stories to share, and so you're going to get to hear from the folks that were standing up here about some of their own things that they've dealt with, that God has brought them through, or that they continue to deal with, and God continues to give them grace for. All these different ways that that mental health issues touch our lives, and that God is with us in the midst of them. So I just want to share a couple scriptures today that kind of get our, I don't know, minds in that place, and to help us see some of what God says about us as people and His presence with us. And I'm saying this now so that if I forget to say it later, you've heard it. If you have questions, if you have something you're like, oh, so they're going to talk about this not just today, but the next couple of Sundays, if they're going to, boy, I really hope they address this. I really hope they answer this question. Let me know, all right? The sermons for the next few weeks have not already been pre-written, okay? We'd be happy to address some of the questions that you have, or if there's specific situations that you want to see, like, what does God say about that? You know, then please. Or if you have a story that you would like to share about how God has been faithful and good and is helping you through some mental health issue, let me know, and we might be handing you the mic sometime. So, yeah, Diane, what's got? Uh-huh.
And it was a miracle from God that I was alive.
Yeah.
And it's a miracle that your dad's alive when he got that stick in his ear.
Yeah, I know. And he's going to have a surgery coming up this week just to help with some of that. So. Yeah, that's Tuesday, I think. Yeah, he's going to have a surgery this week. Yeah. Sorry, if you couldn't hear what Diane was saying, she was just thanking God for his faithfulness through some physical, you know, moments where she fell down some stairs carrying a bike and, like, thank God, it was kind of a miracle she survived, didn't break something. And my dad, a year ago, when he fell out in the woods and had that stick in his neck, and we won't keep going with that story. Anyway, it's caused him continued problems that he's going to have some surgery for this week to try to help him with it. But, yeah, if you have a story that you'd like to share about how God has helped you through some mental health struggles and you've seen God's faithfulness at work and you want to encourage other people, let me know, and maybe I'll be handing you a mic on a Sunday, or maybe I'll just be connecting with somebody that needs to hear your story to encourage them as they're going through stuff. Because I'm not going to ask, but if I did, I'm pretty sure all of us would be standing. You know, it's either we're dealing with it ourselves or people very close to us that we care about are. I'm reminded by Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 says, it's talking to God. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." This is the Bible's picture of God and us, that God knows us well and that we are wonderfully complex. I grew up hearing the translation, "We're fearfully and wonderfully made." You know, that our bodies are complex. You know, we are complicated machines, organisms, whatever. And whenever I sit with someone in a hospital room and we're praying for God to help or to bring healing, we always look to God as our primary healer, right? And we thank God that sometimes he uses doctors or medication or other things to help bring about that healing. But yeah, our bodies are complex, including the parts of our bodies that then impact our personality, our mood, our emotions. These things are all woven together. We are multifaceted beings. It makes me think of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 12 when one of the teachers of the law asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Well, the most important one answered Jesus is this, and he quotes Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." It's just like reminding us, like, yeah, there's our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. Like, there's all these different parts to who we are. And in the past, I've heard pastors, I can't remember if I've done this or not. I've been doing this for 25 years, so maybe I did. But I try not to anymore. They try to, like, pick apart each of those and talk about those separately or something. But the Bible doesn't ever pick them apart. The Bible just mentions them as part of this multifaceted whole that we are. You know, there's these different aspects to us, and they impact each other. Our bodies impact our minds, impact our souls. We're complex beings. And he continues, the second most important commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. And I don't want to just skip by that because I know for some of us the struggle is, it's not so much the love in our neighbor's part, it's the as yourself part. Right? Especially when you're dealing with a mental health struggle that has you feeling feelings of shame or feelings of, and maybe because of things that have been done to you in the past, maybe just because of the cards you've been dealt, where it is difficult for you to feel lovable, difficult for you to believe that God really could love you just the way you are, or difficult to believe that other people might love you. It's hard to love your neighbors as yourself when you don't really love yourself. And sometimes the struggle there is because of some mental health issue that we're dealing with. I mentioned just then that, you know, maybe it was something done to you. And I'm not going to try to be a psychologist up here, okay? Just so you know, I'm a pastor. I'm not going to try to. There is so much good out there that you can learn from. If you want to learn more about like trauma and what it does to us and our bodies and our minds and the ways we relate to people and struggle to relate to people, I mean, oh man, I was just talking with somebody yesterday about their traumatic upbringing and all the difficulties they faced because one parent was in and out of jail and there was substance use and there was all this stuff going on, and the way that trauma has impacted, they're in their 30s now and they're still kind of unpacking the ways that this childhood, this upbringing has impacted them and shaped who they are, and they're still trying to find their way through all of that. That's just a reality that some of us live with. Or maybe you, won the genetic lottery, but not won necessarily. We all are born with just kind of different aptitudes and different, you know, our genes are different and all the rest. You know, some people are, I used to be kind of jealous of people who were born with that like football build. You know, that football player build, that, like, my shoulders aren't that wide, right? I would not be good on a football field. Some people, you see them, you think, oh, man, they're just built for football. And then they've got kids, and they're like, oh, and they are built for football. And sure enough, you're like, they played football, their kids played football, their grandkids played football. You know, it's like, because they are just built like they belong on that front line, you know? And, you see athletes competing at the top of their, whether it's, you know, World Series, some of you, you know, made it through the whole World Series, all seven games, or NBA or NFL, any of these sports, and you think, man, you know, they clearly have put in some work to enhance their skills and their abilities and to build their strength and all the rest. But man, they started out with some real benefits, you know, like genetically, they were like wired up, you know, just like there's some people that you think they are never going to play in the, you know, in the NFL. And the other people I think of, like, my dad ran marathons over and over and over again, and you see all these runners that like compete at, like, you know, that win marathons. Any old schlub like me can run one. I've run some, but, you know, to win them, it's like, you got to have a certain build, you know, that, like, that's just kind of genetically given, and then you work from there. And for some of us, unfortunately, what we have inherited physically from our parents genetically is a predisposition to certain things. Yeah, there's stories that I want to share that I need to get permission to, so I'm going to stop myself right there. Okay, all right. Sorry. Some of you know that that's what you've dealt with, because you saw your parents, like, dealt with things, and maybe they were diagnosed, maybe they weren't, but you saw, like, oh, man, and I, like, do I have that? Do my kids have that? Is this something that I'm more susceptible to? Is this something that I'm going to have to watch out for? And if so, that's... You know, we all play with the cards we're dealt. We don't get to trade cards. Some folks, it's like, man, they've got, like, you know, three aces, and, you know, they're like, they're starting the game like way ahead, and others, like, I got a three and a seven and a draw four. What game are we playing here? You know, what's going on? What am I supposed to do with this? But that's, God meets us in the reality we live in. God doesn't meet us in some fantasy world where our lives could have been different or should have been different. He meets us right where we are. He loves us just as we are. And all of us, we can bring all of who we are to God and love him with all that we are. Love our neighbors as ourselves. These things do. They all impact each other. Some of you know this, right? You know that there are things you can do to improve your mental health. There are things you can do, like, if you're struggling with anxiety, you know, and you talk to somebody, a therapist or someone else, they will give you some tools, some things to try to help calm yourself down, right? To help when you feel the anxiety rising, when you feel that in your body, and however it is that you feel it, however it is that you experience it, and they give you something to try, some breathing exercises or some tapping or something that helps you to kind of recenter yourself, to focus, to not, you know, like ramp, to follow that anxiety up that ramp and off that cliff, but that helps you to pause and to calm and to kind of move away from that anxiety. Or if depression's your thing, you know there are some things you can do to help move you out from under that dark cloud, at least a little bit, right? I mentioned medication earlier. Medication can be super helpful. Some of you, unfortunately, we're at a stage of scientific exploration and discovery that some things work great and some things don't, and there's still a little bit of trial and error that goes with, let's see which medication is going to work for you and not for you and all this kind of stuff, and how do these things work together. But man, there are some simple things we can do, right? Like get outside, take a walk, be around some people that love us and care about us. When your mental illness tries to make you isolate and pull away, if you can get over that hurdle and make that phone call or reach out and connect with a friend, You know, these are the kinds of things that help us to, to be able to move out from under some of those things and to be able to deal with them in a way that is healthy and good. There's a story in the Old Testament about the prophet Elijah. And it's in chapter 19, the one I'm looking at. Chapter 18 is this amazing story of him on the mountain with the prophets of Baal. It's this contest, you know, because the nation of Israel has been disobeying God. They've been abandoning God, and they've been following these gods of their neighbors. Baal is the big one. And so Elijah, the prophet of God, sets up this competition on the mountain where, like, there's hundreds of prophets of Baal, and there's just little old Elijah speaking for God. And they sing and shout and pray and cut themselves and dance around and do everything they can to try to get Baal's attention, and he just doesn't respond. And then Elijah prays this simple prayer, and poof, God responds this amazing way. You have to read it yourself to see all the details. But right on the heels of this amazing victory for God that Elijah was in, you know, the whole nation is watching. Then he has this moment where, like, God tells him to run, and he outruns the king's chariot back to, like, where they were going. Spiritual high, physically, like, taxing. And then we get to chapter 19. And the first couple of verses that I didn't include, this ran out of space, the king and the queen threaten his life, threaten to kill him. And they've killed others, so he has no doubt that they mean it. And so we get to verse 3 of chapter 19. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. I mean, he's coming off of this mountaintop experience, like literally, right? And he's sinking into a valley of depression. And he's just asking God to take his life, and he falls asleep. So all at once an angel touched him and said, hey, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey's too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights till he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. Before I keep going, I'm trying to remember, Pastor Judy, what is that phrase that is said that I think you've got it on a T-shirt? Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is... Well, like,
never underestimate the spiritual something of taking a nap
and having a snack. Never underestimate the spiritual power of, like, eating a snack and taking a nap or something like that. I've seen it on T-shirts. That's what Elijah is doing here. He's realizing, like, you know what? You've been riding on adrenaline. Now you're coming down off of this high. You're sinking. You're physically, you are exhausted. And you've experienced this most likely, right? At some point in your life, you are pulling an all-nighter to try to pass some test, and you pull a second one because you got another test, and you haven't slept for 2 days, and now all of a sudden you're just exhausted, and then you're expected to, like, be nice to someone, right? Who's, like, cutting you off in traffic or something, and, like, you kidding me? You know, you got nothing left, you know. Our emotions, our bodies, our spirits, we're all, you know, complex interweavings of all these things. God has knit us together, all these different aspects. And Elijah just needs to eat. He needs to rest. And then he is able to go and meet with God. It says he went into a cave there on the mountain of God, spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord of God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord's about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. So the Lord passes by, and Elijah, like, meets God in this gentle whisper. So he has this, like, amazing encounter with God. God has spoken to him. God has shown up for him. And so now, of course, Elijah feels totally better, right? It says, then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he repeats the exact same thing. The exact same thing. He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. He still feels alone. He still feels kind of like at the end of what he has to give. And the Lord gives him some instructions, says to him, go back the way you came, and give him some more instructions, talk to this guy, do this thing. And then he lets him know, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. He tells Elijah, you're not alone. You're not alone. There are others who are being faithful to me, others that you can lean on, others you can go to, others who will be there for you. I think it is a good, good thing to go to God with our needs, with our problems, with everything, all of life. I mean, we prayed that at the beginning of almost every service here, that God meets us where we live, that we bring all of it to him. We don't leave it behind, and we don't leave it in the car like God can't deal with it, and then we'll pick it back up again when we leave, right? We bring all of who we are to God, and he can deal with all of our stuff. You know, we come to him for healing, for help, for strength, for all of it. But like that doesn't necessarily make everything just better right away, does it? We come to God, we cry out to him, and it feels like he doesn't answer. We come to God and we cry out for help, and he doesn't miraculously heal us or set us free from whatever the issue might be. But God does remind us that he's with us and that we're not alone. And I hope you know that today, that whatever your struggle might be, that God loves you and is with you, and that you are not alone. We are in this together. God walks with you through the most difficult moments in your life. And, I'm thinking again about a conversation yesterday with somebody who that was their experience of crying out to God and feeling like God didn't answer, and it's made them really question if there is a God out there or not. And it was making me think of that story of Joseph from Genesis and how he went through so much in his life, ups and downs and sideways, and everything seemed awful. And it wasn't until the end of his story that he was able to look back and see, you know what, all those rotten things that happened to me, and he's talking to his brothers who had sold him into slavery as a kid and told dad he was dead. And anyway, you intended this for evil, but God intended this for good. Like, look at all the good that God has brought through this. I wouldn't have gotten to where I am today. I wouldn't have met the people I've met. I wouldn't have experienced the things I've experienced. God wouldn't be able to use me in the way he's using me now had he not been with me and taken what you intended for evil and worked it out for good. And I hope that that's the case for all of us, that it might be in this moment we just feel like, oh, where are you, God? We feel exhausted. We're beyond what we can handle. And you hear a pastor stand up front saying God loves you and is with you, and you're not alone. You're like, okay, I don't feel like God's with me. I feel alone. My hope and my prayer for you is that God will help you get to a point at somewhere on this journey and somewhere soon on your journey where it sinks in, where you realize, where you feel it, that, wow, I'm really not alone. There really are people who care about me. There are people that I can be honest about what I'm going through, and they're not going to judge me or kick me out of their church or tell me they don't want anything to do with me. They're going to care about me. They're going to embrace me. They're going to welcome me to walk out this journey with them, alongside them. Maybe there really is, if these people care about me, maybe there really is a God who cares about me. Because there is. I'm convinced that there is. And I've seen it in so many of your stories that God has been faithful. And I look forward to you getting to hear some of those stories in the weeks to come. But I just wanted to close this morning with this psalm that you're probably very familiar with. I was just reading this again. Was this just a couple days ago with Don Peters. He was in hospice care and approaching the end of his life. This reminder of God's presence with us when times are good and when times are hard. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We all notice the I'm walking through the darkest valley and God's with me part, which, man, that's important for, I hope that you're able to see that as true in your life. I just want to highlight one weird phrase right after that where he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And it'd be nice if instead it was like, you prepare a table before me having wiped out all my enemies, you know, having gotten rid of all my enemies, having made sure that I don't have to deal with all these things that bother me anymore. But instead, what we get is, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. These enemies are still here. These struggles I might still be having to deal with. I might still be having to take medication for, or see a therapist for, I might still be needing to seek help for. I might still be needing to go to rehab again and see if this might be the time when I'm finally able to let go. You prepare a table before me. You provide for me. You make sure that I lack nothing in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Like, but God, you've been abundantly good to me in spite of these enemies. And that's why it ends with this confidence that God's goodness and love will be with them forever. The only thing I wish was different about the psalm, and maybe not. I mean, it's pretty good the way it's written. The only thing I wish that I could change if God gave me the editor pencil for the scriptures would be to make it like the Lord is our shepherd, you know, like to remind us that, like, we're part of a flock together. You know, this isn't, we're not like solitary sheep, you know. That we're just me and Jesus and God. I've got nobody but you, you know. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. It's we've got people around us who do know, who are with us. It's good the way it's written, because we need to know that he is my shepherd, that I'm just not lost in this flock, that no, he knows my name, and he knows who I am, and he knows the particulars of my situation. Now, I'm trying to do the best with the hand I've been dealt. Jesus cares. He's with us, and he sees us through. And thankfully, one of the ways that he does that is providing community to be connected in and to be a part of. I want to pray for us. There is so much more to talk about in the weeks to come, but I want to pray for us now so we can celebrate communion together before we go. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for being with us. You know all the different mental health issues that we deal with. Some of us, it's pretty minor. You know, it's seasonal. We're coming to the time of year where it's more dark than light and it's rough, but we make it through and we know and we figured out how to deal with it. God, you know, for some of us, it's major. It's life-threatening. For some of us, it's not us so much as people we love and care about. And so we are looking for hope for them. God, please, would you continue to give us that hope? Would you help us to find those things that we can do, those ways that we are so wonderfully complex in the ways that you have made us, the ways that our bodies and minds and spirits and souls, the ways that that it all fits together and it all influences each other. God, give us wisdom. Give us help. Help us to learn the things we need. We need to learn from those who've experimented and tried and done things. Please, God, would you help us to be willing to, you know, to reach out for the help that we need. To make a phone call. To send a text. To open up a subject of conversation that we've never talked about before. Thank you, God, for providing people in our lives that we can be open to and be honest with. And God, if there's anyone here who doesn't have that, please help them to find someone that they can be open. Help them to come to me, God. Help them to come to someone here who will not judge them, who will listen and care and connect them with some help. You are so good, God. And we are so thankful for the ways that you walk with us through those dark valleys. We're so thankful for the ways that you meet us in the midst of our anxiety or depression or addiction or whatever it might be. As we sang earlier, Lord Jesus, you are the one that we cry out to. It's your name that we call on. Because you are the one who has lived this human life. You have even died our death and come through victorious. You defeated sin and death and the devil by your death and resurrection. Whatever we go through in life, you are with us and you share your victory with us. You share your life with us, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Help us, please, to be aware of your presence with us. To be willing to be open to your grace that wants to change us from the inside out. And maybe you'll do some dramatic kind of a healing thing for us. You do that from time to time, God. Maybe it'll be a long, hard slog that you are with us and strengthening us and being faithful alongside us as we make our way through. But God, help us to know your love and your grace today. Thank you that we get to celebrate with Christians around the world the sacrament of Holy Communion. We offer to you these simple gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, when you were with your disciples, you took bread, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink this, remember me." And so we do remember Jesus. This sacrament reminds us that you really did live this human life, embodied. You got tired. You got hungry. You suffered. You died. And your Heavenly Father was faithful. Death did not have the final word in your life, Jesus. And we are confident that death, disease, struggle, these things will not have the final word in our lives either. You are so good, God. We are so grateful for the love that you've shown us in Jesus Christ. Because of this abundant love that you've shown us in him, God, we come to you offering ourselves, all that we are, as imperfect as we are. It's all we have to give, God. We acknowledge we've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, strength, all that we are. We've not always loved our neighbors, sometimes haven't loved ourselves. Might be there's some other thing that we're dealing with, some other sin that today your Spirit is gently reminding us once again that we need to confess it to you. We need to repent of it, turn from it, turn to you, receive your forgiveness, receive your grace. Thank you, God, that when we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You wash us clean. You give us that fresh start. You change us from the inside out. So we pray you do that for us today. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ. Change us so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as your sons and daughters, being changed by your grace and sharing that grace with others. You are so good, God. We are so grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup and eat it and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what your struggle has been. If today you are saying yes to Jesus, if today you're hungry to receive his grace, he offers it right now, right here. We've got the little regular pieces of like cut up pita bread or some round gluten-free wafers, or we've got the little cups, or some of you guys pick these up on the way in. That works too. We want everybody to have a chance to celebrate. So let's do that. Let's give him thanks. Let's celebrate. Amen.
This is like a little bit before we pray out. I just want to say, like, if you do feel like you're in that deepest, darkest pit, and like Elijah, you're just praying to God, like, please end it, just like, get me out of this, because I don't want to be here anymore. And sometimes God says a person who acts like Jesus, but they're a human. He says ministers to people. We are so blessed to live in a town that Fort Stark has a mobile response team. If you are feeling like you're in the deepest, darkest pit, you can call a number there and come to you. You don't even have to go to them. Call 988. They will have resources. You want to go to rehab? Call me. I have a 24/7 number. So there are so many people in this community that beyond that, that are ready to help, that want to help, that want to give you the hand out of the pit.
Yeah. Yeah. Remind me the title that you community.
Community Recovery Care Coordinator.
Yeah, she's our Community Recovery Care Coordinator. So yes, please, there are people who care. I was talking to a guy this last week, and what was helpful for you? And he went to Porter Stark to their crisis center, and he said that was hugely helpful. And from there, he was hospitalized briefly, and then got out. This is a pastor in our community. I mean, these things hit all of us, right? He also talked about 988 and how helpful they've been. So please use the resources that are available. And let me pray and bless us as we go. God, again, we thank you. Be our way maker, God. Make a way for each and every one of us toward light, toward hope, toward help. Guide us, empower us, fill us with your Spirit. Once again, so that we can live in this world as the body of Christ, so that we can know your love, know your grace, know your strength, know your peace. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.